a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL is unrivaled. The teams you live for. The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome on in to KSL's Unrivaled. No, I'm not Alex Keery. Mitch Harper filling in again for Alex Keery. And joining me tonight is my Cougar Sports Saturday co-host, Matt Biamonte, in the Unrivaled chair. Matt, happy to be on board with you tonight on this Friday evening.
Yeah, it's a start of a beautiful weekend. Weather's great. It's always good to be on the air with you, Mitch. And there's some good sports stuff we're going to get to today, some NBA, an interesting letter sent by some conferences in college football to the government. We're going to get into all of that here, but we want to start things off here on KSL Unrivaled with The Cut.
The Cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made The Cut.
The Cut at 8:08 here on Unrivaled. The NBA is getting closer to a summer return. Commissioner Adam Silver told the owners today during a Board of Governors meeting that there's a target date set, July 31st, for a return to action for the NBA. Four different ideas, Mitch, were kind of mentioned on the call as possible outcomes on how the NBA could resume play in late July. And for me, Mitch, I'll be quick and I'll turn it over to you, but it's nice to hear some details kind of coming out on how the NBA is going to return. And for me, as a diehard sports fan, it's nice that there's a plan in place to resume the NBA. Because I've always maintained, Mitch, that I wanted the NBA to finish this season. I didn't want it to be lost. And it sounds like we're closer than ever to a conclusion to this NBA season.
I'll admit, Matt, I'm kind of shocked that we have a potential finish in sight to the NBA season, because a couple weeks ago I thought, man, I was like Shaquille O'Neal saying, just cancel the season, it's over, move forward, let's get to the summer off season with free agency, let's see if the Lakers can sign Anthony Davis, things like that.
Well, that's going to happen.
I know, but the thing is that I'm excited when I see an actual date, July 31st, that gets me excited. Now, I mean, if it does start up July 31st, we're talking NBA's return, college football fall camps. Man, the late summer, early fall is going to be amazing for the sports calendar. And I've always thought with the global pandemic that we're currently in, that, you know, sports leagues can get creative with the schedule and kind of test things and see what they feel fits best. And I've always thought that the NBA would be great to kind of play through the summer and then start their following season on Christmas Day, and that could potentially be in play here if the NBA does in fact end up starting July 31st. But it's an exciting time, and you know, the trends have been going in favor of you know, the curve has been slowed down with the COVID-19 pandemic. There's been a lot of positive trends on that front, and stats are positive to where, hey, it feels like we can get back to some sort of new normal and have these guys in a bubble down in Orlando and play these games and finish out the season. Because like you, I didn't want to see an NBA season go unfinished. I thought it was going to actually happen, but I'm glad that we're moving towards getting the resolution to the season.
Yeah, and there's been a common theme from the Players Association in the NBA that they do want to finish the season. Michael Jordan had some interesting comments on the call talking about player safety, and we'll get into this in the next segment, those specific four kind of ideas or plans that they're mulling over, because nothing's set in stone, and even July 31st, that's a target date, and so that could be moved up. It may not happen, and maybe the NBA doesn't return. All signs are indicating that it will, but there's still more to, you know, more to uncover. And there's a Board of Governors call next Thursday that will be interesting, where it's presumed that Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, will recommend Orlando as the bubble site to return NBA action. And it's going to be really interesting to see how the owners and how and the players, for that matter, how they all get on the same page, because the GM survey, some results have come out from that. That happened a week ago. And if what I'm seeing, Mitch, is that there's no unanimous decisions anywhere. I mean, it's a split. 53% of the GMs, they wanted to go straight to the playoffs. 47%, they wanted some kind of play-in and opportunity. Players are demanding, maybe demanding is a harsh word, but players are strongly encouraging that there's some kind of ramp up before they get into the playoffs, since there's still a lot of I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed before it's all figured out. But I think with Adam Silver, one of the more progressive commissioners in sports, I think there's going to be a commonality, something agreed upon soon, where there's a plan in place, and there's gotta be a quarantine. You got to get the teams to Orlando. Like I said, a lot to uncover, but it's all really encouraging for sports fans.
And it's crazy to think, too, Matt, that if we get to a point where July 31st is the start of the resuming date of the NBA 2019-2020 season, it will have been 4.5 months since a game was played. It's,
wow.
it's like its own kind of season in a way, but hope, you know, I'm glad that it's heading this way, that we're actually going to get some resolution. And I do hope that we do see some games prior to the playoffs being played, because the quality of play needs to be top-notch for the playoffs. I mean, the NBA playoffs are arguably the best postseason that professional sports has to offer, I think.
Yeah.
It really determines the best of the best every single year. You don't see many fluke champions coming out of the NBA playoffs. If you win that thing, you have earned it. And I want to see the NBA playoffs be a quality product, because, you know, who knows where guys are at physically right now, because it's been basically an off season. Usually for the teams that get all the way to the finals, it's about 85 or so days is the off season or so until they get training camp started up. We're already approaching that number in terms of 85 days. We still got a long ways to go until July 31st. So it's truly an off season and then some, but it's a good thing. I'm glad that the NBA and Adam Silver have stayed true to having the goal of getting this thing back on track, because there were times where I just thought, man, it is not going to happen. We just need to move forward and look ahead to 2020, 2021. But I'm glad that we're getting progress on this front.
I got to say, though, I'm a bit surprised that it's July 31st. I mean, that's more than 2 months away. I kind of thought that the NBA would try and resume some sort of season as soon as possible and safely. And 2 months is a long time, because you hear, oh, we want, you know, 2 weeks training camp and then maybe some games. And so in my mind, I'm thinking maybe sometime after the fourth, you can start to maybe get a couple preseason practices in and then maybe get some games in before playoffs. Because in that call today, Mitch, they said we got to be done by October 1st. And that to me even seems late, because then you're really running into college football, NFL. I mean, it's the NBA playoffs, so ratings will be there, but there's so much to uncover. The 31st, I mean, I'll take anything, but I was surprised that it was going to be 2 months from now, where maybe you can get people to Orlando in the next 2 weeks and start your training camps in the second week of June.
Yeah, well, we got to figure out, too, when we're going to hear these players being allowed to go to the team facilities or getting to Orlando to start training, because that's got to be cleared up as well, because you can't just have them go into July 31st and just start hooping it up. I mean, I think some of the older guys like LeBron James, Mike Conley for the Jazz, that have the state-of-the-art, like, NBA-sized in-home gyms, right, they're going to probably be okay. It's the guys that maybe are on the rookie deals that haven't had the luxury of being able to buy the state-of-the-art home gyms yet, they might be at a disadvantage a little bit. So that's going to be a fascinating dynamic, too, to see who is just kind of hits the ground running. And I think it's going to favor the guys that have been making the huge salaries for a long period of time now because they got the top-of-the-line equipment to keep them training during this unique time.
And let me add to that, I think the veteran teams will also, I think, benefit from this because there's just a maturity and understanding of what you have to do throughout a season to stay in shape. And some of the young guys, I think, rely a lot on athleticism, don't quite have the diets, and then, as you mentioned, they don't have the home gyms as well. So it's going to be really fascinating, but it sounds like the NBA is closer than ever to making a return. We got to take a break here on KSL Unrivaled. On the other side, we talked about those four ideas, four kind of proposals out there in the NBA atmosphere. We're going to talk about those and lend our perspective on what idea is most interesting to us. Stay with us here. We'll get more on the NBA after this here. Break coming up. KSL Unrivaled, powered by KSLSports.com. Welcome back in to KSL's Unrivaled. No Alex Carey, no Scott Mitchell tonight. It's Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte, the Cougar Sports Saturday crew, holding it down here. So we started the show talking about the NBA and possible return looking like July 31st is the target. And in that Board of Governors call between the commissioners and the owners, there's some interesting little facts and tidbits that are coming out on what the NBA could look like when it returns. And there are four kind of ideas, four competitive scenarios that were discussed on the call as things that will be eventually voted upon as how the NBA will return. So I'll give you these four, Mitch, and then you tell me which one you are most interested in, most excited for as a fan. So, idea number one, 16 teams just go straight to the playoffs. No need to figure it out. Most of the regular season is played anyways. Go straight to the playoffs. Number two, 20 teams, and it would be World Cup-style group play, and that would determine who gets to the field of for the playoffs. Idea number three, 22 teams, and you have a set number of games to kind of jockey for positioning, and then there's a play-in tournament from the final seed. And then idea number four, all 30 teams go to Orlando, if that's the place, and it's likely to be the place. And you would play 72, everyone would play 72 games. So some teams would need five, some teams would need more or less. And then after every team has played 72 games, then there would be a play-in tournament for the playoffs.
Wow. You know what? I think it's pretty easy, Matt. I think that's, out of those four options, it's pretty simple. Just have the 16 teams that were already slated to go to the playoffs as of March 12th. Have those teams run it back and have a few games to kind of get them warmed up before the playoffs. But that is the easiest, the most simplest, the easiest way to go about this. That's the route the NBA has to go. Best of seven each round. That is the path. There's really no other option. All those other options, don't give me some group A's. This is the NBA. This isn't the World Cup. Are you kidding me?
Hey, Mitch, you did say in the first segment, though, this is the time to be creative. So I'm about to hit you with some creativity, Mitch, all right? So I don't like any of these options. If I had to choose one, I'm with you. I'm choosing just the 16 teams. But considering a regular finality of the season came and went a long time ago. Everything from here on out, and even in real life, everything is new. Everything is different. We're navigating a new normal right now. So why not be creative? Why not try something? So here's my proposal. I would like to see a World Cup style group play, but there needs to be some sort of stipulation in here that the regular season matters. I don't want the regular season to just go away because a team like Milwaukee or the Lakers, maybe they're a little rusty. They lose a couple games and then they're out. And it's like, well, we played most of the regular season and we had a bad three-game stretch and then we're done. So I don't want to see that. So what I propose here is you have four groups, six teams in each group. So that gets you 24 teams with an opportunity to make the playoffs. The top eight teams in the NBA, Mitch, they're guaranteed a playoff spot. So the group play is a way to get some extra games in for teams like Milwaukee or Utah, who would be guaranteed. You're just playing games to get ready for the playoffs. The other four teams that aren't guaranteed in that group, the top two teams from group play, they're into the playoffs. So there's a way to honor the regular season by getting eight teams in, you know, and you could even do the top four from the East, the top four in the West, and then group play to seed 5, 6, 7, and 8. That's what I would like to see. I think it would be fun, a good opportunity to be creative. So there's my idea and proposal for the NBA. What do you think?
I can respect that, but I like the aspect of like the 20-24 teams. I can get down with that because the last thing I want is the Golden State Warriors at 15-50 to have a shot to win it again.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, the Warriors would be dangerous. Curry would be back. I would imagine Klay Thompson would be good to go. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been. I know Kevin Durant came out and said he wouldn't be playing in this, but Klay Thompson could be back. They got Harrison Barnes in that deal with D'Angelo Russell. I don't want to see the Warriors win it again.
No.
It can't happen.
They would be eliminated. Teams like Cleveland and Golden State, they were abysmal in the regular season. You have to honor the regular season in some form or fashion. It can't just be, hey, Damian Lillard, he had some words earlier where he said he's not going to play if there's not a chance. You know what? You had your chance. Portland wasn't very good in the regular season. So,
but I think the thing is, though, is that Memphis's schedule would have been a lot tougher down the stretch, whereas Portland's would have eased up. So that's where maybe the argument goes to give guys like Dame and another shot at it. But, hey, I'm with you. I think that ultimately I just want to go with the 16. I just want to go with the traditional look, have three or so kind of warm-up games. I don't know what you call them, maybe regular season, preseason. I don't know what you call it, but just some warm-up, tune-up games. And then get after it on the playoffs, because that's ultimately what I want to see. I want to see the Lakers just play the tradition, like the Memphis Grizzlies, the Jazz play in the 4-5. I would also be a fan of the top 16 teams, and it's just divided up by just the best 16.
Totally.
So like the Lakers play, or the Bucks would play who? They would play Orlando. The Lakers would play Brooklyn.
Yeah.
The Jazz would end up getting Houston in that scenario if that happened, which would be the third straight year. That would be the case. But I just want to see just like the top 16 rewarded at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can make a case for some of these other teams, but I just want to see the traditional playoffs. That's ultimately what I want to see.
I do love that you bring up just abandon the East-West thing. I mean, you got to try something. This is the perfect opportunity. There's no home court advantage. None. So there's no reason to have East and West. This would be a great opportunity to see if it provides some interesting matchups, or maybe it's maybe we miss the East and West, and then you go back to that next year. But that would be a great opportunity. One thing I would also like to see, and this kind of plays into the safety of the players and kind of getting a quick conclusion. I'm not opposed, Mitch, to a 3-game first round series. Or 5 is what it used to be, but if you want to condense this, because and along these lines, another thing too, we got to get back to every other day. Since no one's going to be traveling, we can't be having 2 days off between games. It's every other day, and if you did the first round 3, what if you did 3, 5, 7, 7? Then you could probably get that thing done in a month and a half tops.
I think the 7-7-7-7 would be the route, though, because the NBA has got to make up the money, because for, what, 3 months now, they have made literally no money, no revenue.
Right.
And they got to make it up with the TV partners. So I like that idea. And one thing I should note, too, the creativity aspect that I mentioned earlier, it would be because I like the creativity with the dates, like the calendar. Like, I want to see this NBA start on Christmas and then roll through the summertime. That's what I want in terms of creativity. I don't want to see all something 30 crazy. Teams, 24 teams. I don't want anything crazy like that. But one thing that wouldn't be crazy, though, Matt, is people cleaning up their junk. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK today. They make your junk disappear. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They're a proud sponsor here at KSL's Unrivaled.
I need to call them, actually.
I've been cleaning up a lot during the quarantine.
That's something I'm proud of you, actually, because that's something I need to do. I look at my closet sometimes, and I'm like, that shirt's been hanging there for years. I haven't worn it in years, but why can't I throw it away? Does that happen to you?
Yeah, producer Dallin comes and brings the Comrex for me, and he sees like the dysfunction that my kids create with their playroom and their toys. They're out of control. We have people coming and going as we please, but hey, got to clean up the junk. That's why you go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
All right, we're going to take another break here in KSL Unrivaled. Good stuff on the NBA. So if you want more details on that, head over to KSLSports.com. Ben Anderson, Jazz Insider here. He's doing a great job of breaking it down. On the other side, we're going to get to some football. Power Five Leagues asking Congress for athletic compensation law changes. Really interesting stuff there in college athletics. We'll get to that after this break here. It's KSL Unrivaled, powered by KSLSports.com.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back in to KSL's Unrivaled. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte, the Cougar Sports Saturday crew, filling in on the program this evening. KSL News time is 8:38 p.m. We're having a great time. We'll take you all the way up to 9 o'clock this evening. And right now in college football, there's a fascinating dynamic, a bunch of different stories in college football world. One, you know, is the season going to start on time? All things are trending in that direction. We're seeing BYU opening up facilities coming up on Monday. Utah and the Pac-12 Conference will be opening up on June 15th. So that's a positive step in the right direction towards the season starting on time. But then another story, Matt, is name, image, likeness. And for listeners out there that aren't familiar with that, that's basically where student athletes have the ability to profit off their name, image, and likeness. And the Power Five conferences constructed of the Big Ten, the SEC, Big 12, ACC, and Pac-12, they reached out to Congress, basically telling Congress to enact a clear national policy on name, image, and likeness and not wait for the NCAA process to conclude. I mean, really, like, does Congress have to worry about name, image, likeness for college sports? Is it that pressing of a matter?
It might be, considering the NCAA, Mitch. The NCAA has done some crazy things, and although I think they're trending in the right direction, how long is it going to take? And so, it doesn't bother me, actually, because this is something, in my opinion, Mitch, that should have happened years ago. It never made sense to me why a collegiate athlete couldn't make money on himself. What if he has a blossoming YouTube channel? What if he goes to the local mall and signs autographs? Why was that ever a violation? I don't understand. And so I can't blame these Power Five conferences for wanting to get this pushed through, because it would be an advantage. And you know who it would be a big advantage for, I think, in recruiting, Mitch, is BYU. Because BYU has that far-reaching fan base where that could compel someone to come to BYU, because you could say, hey, if you turn out to be the next Jimmer Fredette or the next Taysom Hill, not only are you going to make a lot of money for the rest of your life, but you can make a lot of money now off your name, image, and likeness. And so it doesn't bother me that they want to get this pushed through as quick as possible.
Yeah, I mean, for professional reasons, absolutely I would love to see this happen, because I'll tell you what, on our show, Cougar Sports Saturday, we would be having a weekly segment with one of the best players. Like this past basketball season, we would have had a Yoli Child segment that had sponsored by some company, and he would have been getting straight paid.
Yep.
I'm down with that. I'm okay with the college athletes getting paid. I just like wonder, is it that pressing of a matter for Congress to get involved, because everything else they got going on their plate in with the pandemic and everything else in the world that Congress has to deal with, is this at the forefront? But I do think there needs to be some sort of resolution, because athletes are getting to the point where they're, I mean, I think that in recruiting, I think everyone knows that the elite schools, probably in football and men's basketball especially, guys are getting paid. It's just, it's happening. Like, it's not out there in the open, and I don't know if these head coaches of these institutions know, but there's middlemen, there's runners that are making it happen, and they're making it move. And you know what? At the end of the day, let's let these guys get a cut, their own name, image, likeness, because not all of them are going to be pulling in all this money. And honestly, I think it'll be something that once it does happen, because I do think we're headed towards that path, I think that it's not going to be, it's going to be kind of viewed like the cost of attendance thing was. Remember a few years ago, cost of attendance was a hot topic in college sports of, you know, how are schools going to keep up with cost of attendance, which is, you know, kids that go to these schools, they get a certain kind of stipend every single month. And BYU's is pretty good. Utah, as well, I think it's like $4,000, $5,000 a year, something along those lines. But now it's not even a talking point. No one even discusses cost of attendance anymore. I think this will kind of be along the same lines when it actually does happen. But for the guys that are marketable, like a Yoli Childs, like, you know, in the years gone by for the Utah, like a Zach Moss in football. Like,
oh, yeah.
Those guys deserve to make some money while they're, you know, they let them go do an autograph session at a mall or whatever it may be, a car dealership, whatever, radio shows, whoever. Let them go make some money and make it happen.
You know what this reminds me of, actually? I got to tell a brief story, but this reminds me a little bit of employees all around the world who are told one thing and it never comes to pass. I remember I'm working a college job. I'm not going to name the company, but I was told to take this really horrible graveyard shift, but we'll increase your pay and we'll do a few things. So I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, I think I just bought a new car. Like, I could use a couple extra $100. Did it and agreed to it before I had signed anything, and then it never happened. Still to this day, I have bitter feelings, and I think maybe some of that is creeping in with the NCAA, because earlier, when I say earlier, I mean right after the pandemic hit, we were starting to hear, oh, there's going to be this one-time waiver for athletes, we're going to do this, you know, all these progressive things by the NCAA. Well, guess what? The one-time waiver thing has been tabled, and we don't know when that's going to come back up. I think it will sooner rather than later, but we don't know. And so maybe there's this fear from people that, hey, you guys were saying things, but now we don't trust the NCAA, and who can blame anyone who doesn't trust the NCAA, that maybe this isn't going to come to pass, or if it does come to pass, it's going to be a lot later than we want it to. But ultimately, I do agree with you, Mitch. It's probably not something that Congress should be concerned about right now, but I certainly don't blame them for being leery of the NCAA.
And one thing this does prove, though, Matt, is, one, the NCAA has no power over the Power Five conferences. No. They run college sports. Like the NCAA, they put on a great basketball tournament. But outside of that, that's all they do. I mean, that's the only thing the NCAA has going for them. They have no control over college football. And college is what makes the money. It's $4 billion at stake this college football season. And that's why I think we're going to see college football start on time. But also, I think what this highlights, too, is that with the Power Five, they have the control. And I think eventually, Matt, we're going to see the Power Five, I think, eventually break off from the rest of college sports, because in this pandemic, it's clearer than ever before. Like, if it wasn't clear already, now it's even more clear. The Power Five is not playing the same sport as the Group of Five. When I say the Group of Five, I'm talking about the Mountain West, the AAC, the MAC, all those leagues. Like, you're seeing sports in these smaller conferences, they're cutting Olympic sports left and right to cost-cutting measures during this pandemic. You're not really seeing that in the Power Five conferences, because most of them have still enough money to navigate up until at least football season. They get a lot of money, but they also spend a lot. But what it shows, too, I think that this directive of them taking this authority to contact Congress directly as a Power Five collective, I think we're eventually going to see these five conferences break off eventually. I think it's just kind of a first sign that this will eventually happen, where we will see college football break off. And for Utah, that's great, because then you how nice would it be if you're a Ute fan listening, where you just kind of go through the 64 Power 5 teams over a 8-9 year span, and you're cycling through them kind of like the NFL does. For BYU, you hope you're in that structure if that does in fact happen. But I think this type of communication where the Power 5 is aligning together, it highlights that's going to eventually happen, in my opinion.
And you have to wonder, there's no doubt that this does signal that there is discord between those conferences and the NCAA, but you can't help but wonder what happens to specifically like the Notre Dames and the BYUs, because Notre Dame is not considered a part of the Power Five. Now, everyone views them as a Power Five program, but they are not a part of any of those five conferences, neither is BYU. So,
they'll be in the ACC. They already make ACC money.
Yeah,
because basketball,
they're not technically a part of that conference, though.
Right. With all the other sports except football, but they do have access to ACC bowl games. They also have access to ACC network money. Notre Dame will be fine. It's BYU that would be, if that scenario happened, which honestly I think that maybe would give BYU fans hope, and you would hope that you got the power at BYU, the athletic department, the administrators, that they're making every move necessary to put BYU in a situation to be in that power structure of college sports, because I do think we're heading to that direction, because I've never seen something like this happen where just five conferences are reaching out to Congress on their own behalf. They're going over the NCAA and showing they have the power. So I think, because I don't think there's ever going to be a day where BYU gets invited to the Big 12. They're not going to get invited to the Pac 12. So you got to hope that maybe they could get into this structure.
How?
Maybe
though?
A breakoff. I don't know how that would look. Maybe you look at, you know, a situation where these conferences look at BYU and say, hey, they have a national following. They've got incredible reach in terms of their TV audience. And if you put BYU with those programs in like this power five foot college football world, BYU fans will be as passionate as ever before, because that's what Cougar fans have been dreaming for their whole lives. So I just think that this to me was like the first sign that the Power Five is just kind of getting fed up with the NCAA. It's kind of been building towards this, but this was a real kind of out in the public sign to that, like, hey, we're moving on from the NCAA, waiting for them. We're going directly to Congress because we got the money. We got the resources. We don't need the NCAA. We're going to take matters into our own hands and contact Congress directly to get this thing done, because the NCAA, they're dragging their feet and they need some sort of resolution now rather than later.
As of right now, though, I don't see why that conversation would even happen. That conversation has happened a couple of times already where BYU has pitched those exact things and no one has taken the bait. So unless something changes, I don't see that happening, Mitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a far-fetched idea, but I think that it's something like, if there's any hope BYU getting into some sort of Power 5 football league, that's like the only hope, is if you break off the Power 5 conferences and somehow they invite BYU to form a 65, 66 teams with Boise, UCF, and Houston.
They would need a big season, and if college football is played and they have a splashy season, that would certainly help. All right, you hear the music. We got to take a break here on KSL's Unrivaled. On the other side, we'll wrap up the show with Buy or Sell. Stay with us here. More to go. KSL's Unrivaled, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back into KSL's Unrivaled. You know that sound. It's Buy or Sell time here on the program as we're wrapping things up. This 1 hour stuff goes pretty fast, Matt. I'm not going to lie.
It
goes way too fast. And for those of you who want to hear us tomorrow, Cougar Sports Saturday from 12 to 3, a shameless plug, getting out there to Cougar Sports Saturday. You can hear myself, Mitch Harper, and Matt Biamonte tomorrow. We'll have Kalani Sitake on the program, BYU head football coach, going to be joining the show tomorrow. And then we'll be revisiting some stuff as well. So be on the lookout for that tomorrow on Cougar Sports Saturday. But again, buy or sell time. And it's brought to you by Free Online Trading Academy. Register now for a free 3-hour workshop at tradingacademy.com. Matt, let's start. You go ahead and start things off on the buy or sell. What do you got on deck here?
Yeah, so last weekend, after the show, I was visiting the in-laws in the Bay Area, and we were killing some time on Memorial Day, and up popped this amazing YouTube video from Mark Rober. Now, if you don't know who Mark Rober is, he's a YouTuber who invents these crazy things. It's insane. I don't know if you've seen the video of the fake Apple package that people steal.
Oh, yes.
And then that's Mark Rober.
Oh, okay.
So he comes out with this video where during the quarantine he was going to do bird watching, but then a bunch of squirrels started eating the bird seed that he had in his backyard. So he created this crazy obstacle course for the squirrels, and at the end of like 8 different obstacles, they would get a bunch of walnuts would spray onto this table, and it was crazy. It was unbelievable. So, buy or sell, a squirrel could beat you in a Ninja Warrior obstacle course, Mitch.
Man, I'm going to buy that, because, look, I've been in quarantine the last few months, and I've stayed at home for the most part. I recently been getting out a little bit more, but my movements are not good right now, so I think a squirrel could destroy me. So, yes, I'll buy that 100 times over again right now. That squirrel would crush me in a Ninja Warrior race.
There was actually 4 squirrels in the YouTube video, and they once they figured it out, Mitch, they could get through the obstacle course in less than 40 seconds. This is, you had one of the ropes that, like, it's twisting all the time, and you had to jump from different platforms. It was insane.
Gosh.
What they did. So absolutely buy. There is no way I would get through that course. I'd maybe get through 2 of the 8 obstacles. It was insane. It's incredible watch, Mitch. You got to watch it. Get your kids, get your wife, and watch that video. You'll be thoroughly impressed.
I catch American Ninja Warrior every once in a while on a Sunday night on NBC.
This is better.
Yeah, that seems a lot better having the squirrels added to the mix. I gotta catch that. The next thing here on Buy or Sell here on KSL's Unrivaled college football. Clemson running back Travis Etienne, he put on weight last spring binging on Popeye's chicken. This is a man at my heart right here. Clemson running back has been one of the best running backs in college football over the past two seasons, and the man just binged on Popeye's. I had a little too much to eat, he writes. I was 210 pounds when I left. When I got on the scale, I was 218. I'm still trying to slim back down. So in honor of ETN's binge on Popeye's, I'm going to ask you a simple question, Matt. Buy or sell the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
Sell. I don't even have to think about it. It's a sell, sell, sell. Capital S-E-L-L. I am all about that Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. And I don't care what Popeye's does. I'm staying true, loyal, strong, and true, baby, to Chick-fil-A all day, every day.
Hold the phone. That Popeye's chicken sandwich is magical.
And not magical.
You don't need any sauce to go with that sandwich. The Popeye's chicken sandwich is the best chicken sandwich in the fast food chain right now. That is the best.
That's blasphemy.
It's the best. Chick-fil-A sandwich is good, but you need like to drench that thing in Chick-fil-A sauce to be even decent. The Popeye's chicken sandwich is ready to go. Pull that thing out of the pouch, and it's amazing.
I have my special Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich order nailed down to a T, and there's nothing that will move it off the pedestal for me, Mitch. So it's a sell. I will say this, though. And because you hear about this from college athletes from time to time where I've got to put on weight, quarterbacks waking up in the middle of the night eating PBJs. I'm like, just once in my life, I'd like to have a 1 month span where I've got to get up at 2 a.m. and add some weight via Taco Bell or something like that. I got to get up at 2, guzzle a 32-ounce Baja Blast, throw down a couple Locos Tacos. I got to put on the weights.
I know. It's a great thing. Like, Zach Wilson down at BYU, he's trying to get up to, like, 215, so he's trying to eat a lot. And it's like, man, what a good problem to have. Like, he's just trying to gain weight so badly and eat everything in sight to get up to around 215. What a good problem to have. I would love to be in that situation where I'm like, I need to gain weight. I need to just eat at 3 a.m. and just get up to that weight that I'm desiring. That'd be an amazing feeling.
All right, I guess last buy or sell thing here. NFL says that they are not going to let the CEO of Barstool Sports, David Portnoy, watch a game with Roger Goodell because he failed a background check. So buy or sell the NFL running background checks on other people that would be invited to watch a game with the commissioner.
Sell this. Roger Goodell did not run a background check on this. They just did not want El Presidente to sit with Roger Goodell to watch a game. Because, I mean, if you're familiar with Dave Portnoy with Barstool, he does not like Roger Goodell at all. The man's made T-shirts of Roger Goodell with a clown nose on his face. And so there's no love lost between Portnoy and Barstool and the NFL and Roger Goodell. And when Portnoy won this chance to watch a game with Roger Goodell, the NFL was ending this at all costs. So I'm selling this. They didn't run a background check. They just don't want to have him watch a game with Goodell.
I'm going to buy it only because I kind of believe that the NFL would do something like this. The NFL does some really weird and interesting things. Now, you got to give them credit. They're a pretty progressive league. And something I love about the NFL, Mitch, love about the NFL, is they're willing to change rules. Unlike the MLB that's stuck in the past, the NFL has an eye on the future and they're willing to change. And I love that. But they also do a lot of things that a lot of people don't agree with. And so I guess what I'm saying is I could see the NFL actually doing this and using it as an excuse, but at the end of the day, I don't think they did it. I think it was a convenient reason to say, we don't want you with Commissioner Goodell, because most people in the media, especially people like Dave Portnoy, there's so many outspoken people against Roger Goodell. If I were him, I wouldn't want to sit with these people.
Well, Matt, I would love to sit with you again in this KSL Unrivaled chair again. Then maybe again, but we'll do it tomorrow on Cougar Sports Saturday. Subscribe to the KSL Unrivaled podcast, kslsports.com. Have a great night. We'll catch you tomorrow on Cougar Sports Saturday.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.